Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we love to find unusual books. And I think we've hit the jackpot this time. We're going to speak now to Jackie Jones-Hunt about Moses and Jesus, the Shamans. Hello, Jackie.
Hello, it's a pleasure to speak with you this evening.
Likewise. Now, this really is, it's complicated, but it's also fascinating, isn't it?
I think so. If you'd like to hear about the book, Moses and Jesus, the Shamans, I could give you a brief rundown on it.
Before you do, I would love to know why you wrote the book.
Why I wrote it? Well, since a child, I've had psychic and mediumistic experiences. And as time went on, I studied world religions and archaeology. And I went out to the Middle East to live in Jordan, where I was teaching, so that I could go out to lots of religious archaeological sites, Egypt, Israel, Syria, and so on. And Jordan itself, where Mount Nebo is, where Moses was buried, and so on. So I wrote the book because I was trying to look at the roots of world religions, and I spent many years as a psychical researcher, and the book really reveals that many of the world's prophets were actually practicing mediums.
Well, before you tell us about that, I want to know who you are, then we'll get into the book, you see.
Yes.
So when you grew up with your psychic abilities, did you find it hard? As a young person, did you have problems? Did you get accused of being mad? Or how did you grow up with it?
I grew up sort of seeing auras around people, and in particular had dreams which were precognitive, which were telling me about events in the future. And sometimes these events took some years to come through, but they actually all did come through. I was also a very sensitive child because of it, because I think you have to be very sensitive for that faculty or that gift to sort of develop in you. So I don't think people thought I was mad. But I also used to look into the tea leaves, and I also do tarot cards as well. I have had many letters telling me that their cards came out very accurate and gave them things that they weren't even aware of at the time.
Interesting you mentioned tea leaves.
Now, yes.
When you look into the tea leaves, describe what it is.
Well, some people can use water, and that's another way of practicing, to look into water or into a crystal ball. Or some people do sand readings, and in Jordan they did coffee readings with the coffee, well, not leaves, but those like little bits of coffee, the grains of the coffee. So it's really a focus, something to help you get into a type of altered state or a meditative state when you're actually seeing things differently. Some people even look up at the clouds and they can see faces and shapes, or into tiles in the bathroom even, natural stone type tiles. But these are all sort of a focus for the mind to get into an altered state and attune, and you're actually just changing your consciousness, and through that it seems to help people have predictive information.
It's interesting you say that. So what you're saying is it's not the tea leaves, it's looking into the tea leaves, looking at the stones, the tiles,
yes,
looking at these things changes the way you perceive things.
Yes, I would say that, yes. The shamans of the past, they used to look into the trees, and where we would look at the trees and look at the light between it, they used to look at the light and not the branches of the tree to alter their perception. And that used to help them get into an enhanced state. And again, they would either have mediumistic experiences, which is a third-party communicator, or psychic experiences, where it's not a communicator involved, and they're looking at the person's past, present, or future.
So what is a shaman?
Well, a shaman is another name for a medium. We call mediums today channels. And in the past, we had many names for them. We used to call them fortune tellers, oracles, seers, soothsayers, witch doctors, healers, medicine men and women, savants, visionaries. And in the religious context, we often call them priests, gurus, prophets, saints, or mystics, or holy ones. So what my book shows, really, is that mediumship can be found at all times and all cultures, that it's a universal faculty, it's a gift. And I do trace it in the book throughout the centuries, from the beginning of time to present day.
Now, do you, in the book, tie up Moses, Jesus and Muhammad?
Well, to an extent, what I'm saying is that the source of all the different religious paths, and there are many of them, and some of them are world religions, that at the source of it, there has been mediumistic experiences. Now, these aren't necessarily contacting your grandmother. There's a difference. And I call them transformative or spiritually transformative mediumistic experiences. Now, when Muhammad received the Quran, he went into an altered state of consciousness where his body was shaking, and he recited a huge volume of literary verse, which has been classified by literary scholars as a literary masterpiece. Now, he was illiterate, and the whole book sort of came out in two or three installments, which is really describing a type of mediumistic trance, which is known as direct voice trance phenomena. And he also had an out-of-body experience, which is known as Muhammad's night journey. So I was showing that there was a mediumistic element very much there with Muhammad, but also with Moses, who spoke to Yahweh, who is described as the spirit of the Lord and the angel of the Lord. And he communicated and had lengthy conversations with Yahweh. And the elders also observed Yahweh, which was described as a manifesting type of cloud, which used to rise up every morning, and they would follow it through the desert when they were en route to the land of milk and honey, the promised land.
But how could you know these things?
Well, I've done a great deal of archaeology. I've done several decades now of psychical research, and I've also been a lecturer of world religions. So it's a sort of a unique blend where I've put all three together, and Moses and Jesus, the shamans, really sort of goes through it in detail, and also describes the mistranslations in the 16th, 17th century when we used to burn the witches. And at that point, all mediumship was mistranslated in the Bible as the work of the devil. And yet it's through this ability people have had their spiritual experiences.
So when you put the book together, what is the content of the book?
Well, the first chapter explains where we're at with psychical research, and it also explains in very easy to use language the science that actually does explain and can clarify what mediumship is, and that it does exist. It's the old Newtonian science that can't accept mediumship, and that's why many people have been told that they didn't have an experience when they knew quite well that they did. And many people today, we have near-death experiences as well. That's children blind from birth who go to the non-physical realms, and they also float out of their body around the hospital, and also describe sights and scenes in their homes many miles away from the hospital. And once upon a time, we used to say these experiences didn't exist. And I give in easy-to-read language how these experiences can be explained by the new physics. So explaining psychical research and the new physics, I then give examples of mediumship and also explain biblical mistranslations.
Would the Christians and Muslims be offended by this book?
Not at all. What it does is it really brings all religions together by showing it's a universal gift, a spiritual faculty. It's a sensitive faculty. And I'm sure, because the examples I have go through ancient Egypt, Greece, India, Japan, China, Middle East, right up to present day, from the beginning of time to present day. So it's a summary of all these experiences and the religions that they gave birth to. But nobody would be offended by it at all, because it's a spiritual book. And anyone who's interested, a truth seeker, a medium themselves, anyone who's had an experience or just inquiring, would find it would answer a lot of questions for them.
But as somebody who has dug into this, you must have hit an awful lot of blank walls.
No, it's almost, it was like a jigsaw puzzle that came together. From a child, I've been interested in archaeological evidence, and I've also had psychic experiences. I became a psychical researcher. I was a lecturer in world religions. And I used to teach in a multicultural school. And just over the years, and then I went out to the Middle East to go to these sites as well. Over the years, watching mediums work and looking at messages and watching mediums in direct voice trance phenomena when they're giving a spiritual lecture and the medium's completely out of it, and it might be an old lady, but it's a male voice coming through and it's all been totally tested in laboratory conditions. Everything seemed to come together, and my knowledge of the birth of religions and the more I looked into mistranslations in the Bible, and the more it came together that this is what it is. But it was from about the 16th and 17th century, Orthodox Church seemed to turn its back on the mediumship that actually gave birth to these religions.
I'm talking to Jackie Jones-Hunt, who has a book out called Moses and Jesus, the Shamans. Have you been challenged by religious people like priests over this book?
No, I haven't. I've taught classes at Strathclyde University and Paisley University, Warwick University and different colleges on psychical research to adults. And I've had people there from all walks of life, solicitors, vicars even, lots of different people from all ages and backgrounds. But no, nobody has challenged it, because when you actually read the book, it's not twisting anything and the facts are very clearly set out. And really, it's just showing that there is spiritually transformative mediumistic experiences, and that's what Bibles and different religious writings are telling us when they say they talk to the angel of the Lord or the spirit of the Lord, which got later changed to God in some places of the Bible after the 16th and 17th century, because that was the time of the witch hunts, and anybody who was a healer or psychic or seemed a little bit different was dealt with by the Inquisition and burned. So it's all from that era where things have been lost to us today.
For my listeners that who are listening and are curious about this book, and I'm sure they'd like me to ask this question, what actually is a psychical researcher?
A psychical researcher is a person who is an academic and observes psychic and mediumistic phenomena. Mediums can are the ones who have a third-party communicator, which is giving evidence of survival. They may be clairvoyant when they see them in their mind's eye, or they might see them externally manifest, or a clairaudient hears, a clairsentient senses. So we have clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience. We have psychic artists who draw the spirit that they can see again in their mind's eye or manifesting in front of them. And when a medium goes into trance, and there have been mediums who have been, their hands have been tied to their chair, and they've also been gagged, and tape recorders have been put on, and voices still emanate from that medium. And that's called direct voice trance phenomena, where the medium doesn't seem to be part of it at all. And I have many, many tapes of mediums in trance where they are being used for direct voice trance phenomena, from talking about the genuine life of Jesus to a hangman who has passed on to spirit, who says he's sorry he ever hanged them, because when they went on, they were angry souls who hang near to the earth plane and try to corrupt people, particularly if they're into drink and drugs, that they can influence their thoughts. So it's a fantastic area, and there's an enormous proof that animals and humans, because we're all animals, in fact, we're all sentient beings that fear death and pain and are flesh and blood. There is so much evidence that all animals, human and non-human, survive physical death. And I actually have a friend in Brazil who's now written 8 books on what's called electronic voice phenomena or instrumental trance communication. And she's been doing a tour of the world at the moment because of the voices that she's getting through her equipment from spirit. But amazingly, she's picking up the voices of animals, particularly dogs barking. So it's an amazing area.
How can people find out more about you?
Well, if they went to my website, which is Jackie Jones Hunt, it's a double barrel surname, Jones, J-O-N-E-S-H-U-N-T, Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, JackieJonesHunt.co.uk. They would see over 20 wonderful, if I say it myself, wonderful reviews on the book by professors, academics, and fellow authors and psychical researchers. They have really given the book a great deal of praise. There's over 22, I think, reviews there so far. They can buy the book on Amazon, and it's only about £6 on Kindle and about £14 on Amazon, which includes post and packaging. I've also been sent a couple of boxes of books by the publisher, so I can also sell things, books myself, whether I'm giving talks or through the post to anyone who inquired, if they contacted me through my website.
Jackie, what do you want people to take from this book?
Life goes on after physical death for all animals, human and non-human, and that all religions are united through the psychic or mediumistic sensitive faculty. And it's almost like these excursions from angels to humankind have been trying to bring humankind forward spiritually from the earliest days to the Ten Commandments, to the type of philosophy that we get through now and through Jesus we had as well, who was obviously a healer, psychic and medium. When he went up on the mountain called the Transfiguration on the Mount experience, he took a few disciples with him, and he talked to the manifestations, the physical phenomena, of the dead Elijah and the dead Moses, who had died centuries before. So he was showing his disciples that he was talking to the spirits of the long dead prophets, Elijah and Moses. So he was showing them before his own crucifixion that life continues after physical death. But there's been that many different church councils in the centuries after Jesus passed to spirit that distorted his message. And that's also explained in the book, how once Jesus went, the disciples still were persecuted. And Paul, the self-proclaimed prophet, self-proclaimed apostle who'd never really physically met Jesus or discussed with Jesus, gave his own version of Christianity that was adopted by all the foreign people who were moving into the movement.
Jackie, it sounds absolutely fascinating. The book is called Moses and Jesus, the Shamans. I'm talking to Jackie Jones-Hunt. To finish off, what's your next project?
Well, I'm working on a trilogy of books now, three books. And what I'm doing is I'm looking at the original teachings in different world religions regarding animals. And remarkably, these original teachings in Buddhism, Hinduism, the Confucius spiritual philosophy, the Greek spiritual philosophy of the ancient Greeks, the Jains, the Taoists, and the Essenes, who were Jewish vegetarian cult, that the religion was predominantly, and for many, many centuries, teaching vegetarianism, and how that has been distorted in more recent centuries. Once Christianity went to Rome, the great meat eaters, to suit the people who were becoming Christian, how the original vegetarian Essene teachings of Jesus and his first disciples, how this was all distorted. So in book one and book two, I'm explaining the vegetarian background of all these religions that shaped the world of Jesus. And in book three, I'm explaining how Jesus's vegetarian message was totally lost after Paul took over the movement and wrested it from the disciples. So two of those books should be out this year, and the third book should be out next year. And any inquiries, then please just look at my website, which is jackiejoneshunt.co.uk.
Jackie Jones-Hunt, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.